Night, so and the Lord's here, so it's going to be a good service. We got a lot of stuff planned for the youth. The Bowtie Quartet is singing, not the Bowtie Boys, Bowtie Quartet is singing tonight, and then the 316 singing tonight as well. Anybody have any testimonies to start the service off tonight? All right, we'll go ahead and get a congregational song. Just shake hands, you know, welcome everyone to the service, and then we'll take prayer requests after that.
All right, everybody stand and get your hymnal and turn to page 137.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Anybody have any prayer requests tonight?
Trenton Haley that was with us this morning is traveling back to Beckley right now. We can just remember her traveling mercy.
Continue my daughter Sue. She's praying for her. She's at home, but she's got a long road to
Pray for our family. My grandmother passed away yesterday morning, and then I'll be going to Cleveland tomorrow. I'm up there for the first time, so pray for a good situation.
What time?
First appointment's like 12:30.
Remember 316 tonight in the Bowtie Quartet. Remember Aaron as he brings the message. Anyone else?
Tell my son's students he's supposed to graduate here in May. He's been side by side last night. He had a wreck and passed away in front of a hospital. My son called me. He's pretty upset with her. He's really good kid, probably the best kid that they had in the class today. And he's going to be missed. And pray for his family.
Yeah.
Pray for my family.
Remember the loss of my family.
What is it?
Remember the loss of my family. Okay.
Remember all the graduates this morning.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made. You know, I'm thankful that God made it easy for me, but you know, it's pretty difficult on some of them. So, just remember them as they make these decisions.
Amen.
The altar's open. Everyone just lead out in your own prayer. Anyone have any testimonies tonight before we get the singers up here?
$18 off. you know, God has really blessed those times.
Yeah, bless him. Yeah. Yeah.
May we never take that for granted. May we always find our place. A lot of them people that I used to remember are now gone, and that's for some of the offspring. And if something happens to these young folks that's there, they might have to close it up. I don't know. That's just me. Maybe I'm being negative. But Mama, in Calvary, we have over 10,000 or more people living in here. But you remember them. That's been a heavy burden on my thoughts and my life. And Lord, you said, I can't believe that. I said, I can't either. So you pray for them.
Amen. Yeah. You know, we're blessed with our musicians, too. We're praying. Y'all did an awesome job on that song just now in the garden. Just want to give you the flowers while we can. I appreciate y'all.
Amen.
Amen. Bless God.
In fact, why don't we just sing a verse of it? Can we do that?
Come out here on Sunday morning and see the talent of youth we got here.
Yeah, yeah. Bless you.
And the blessings they've been to us, you know. I just admire the parents for praying. she was a smart woman, and you know, she would walk to church on Sundays, and that she lived down next to Dolores, and she was really dedicated about going to church. And, you know, she left a witness to me that, you know, how good life was. And when I went to high school, which helped me through high school. After high school, I should have went on to college, and I didn't go, but most of my friends did. And I went in the Army, and I grew up fast. You know.
Right.
But I'm just thankful for our young people here at this church and what they mean to us. And I just don't want to take up a lot of time.
Bless you.
It's been a good day. And, you know, I congratulate all these graduates. I know they're going to be successful. And just as I hope my grandson will be successful. He's down in Florida, Tennessee World. He's an intern down there. Been here a few weeks ago. The guy had a heart attack. And he was in his 40s. This guy gave him CPR to revive him. He'd already straight lined. And brought him back to life. And a few weeks after that, he got a letter from the guy thanking him for saving his life. But I'm too proud of my grandson. He'll get his degree next year from West Virginia University. And I'm thankful for that. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has blessed all of us.
Amen.
He looks around. He has blessed us.
Sure.
And a lot of that has to do with the young people. You know, we're so blessed with the young people. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Y'all just remember me.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Amen.
Anyone else?
Trent, I'm glad to be here. I don't want to take up much time either, but you know, God's blessed me today. And something been going on me all week. I listened to preacher Tuesday night preaching.
Bless you.
We all got a job to do. We got a little fire built up there.
Yeah.
And that thing will go dead if we don't do our part, put another stick on the fire and get it going. So we got a duty to do. I was getting ready to think, well, ain't nobody going to testify tonight, but we need to. I was getting ready to hear a rock holler or something, but people starting to stand up and testify. We need to get on fire for God, people. If we don't, we can't praise Him here. How can you praise Him out there?
Yeah,
I don't know, but I love Him tonight. I'm thankful that He touches my heart, blesses my family. I know that right there turned 32 today, and I'm proud of her. You know, I really am. I don't say up to her nothing much, but I love her today, and I'm proud of her. She's in church tonight. She raised her daughter in church, and that. So I'm proud of her, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your blessing. Y'all pray for her.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bless
you, God.
Bless you.
And then, you know, it was definitely a blessing this morning. I'm sure for a lot of you guys, you know, I've seen the work that you guys have put in and the work that you guys put in helping me grow up, and then to see the blessings, you know, after they get through. And you know, it's always a blessing to see the kind of the rewards of the end of your works. But it's just, that's why the youth at our church is as great as they are, is because of the work that you guys put in throughout the week. You know, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, the time, the effort, the care, you know, the prayer, you know, it's just, that's why that our youth is the way they are, is because of the time that you guys put in. And, you know, I appreciate it. I'm sure they appreciate that. But it's you guys that put in the effort and the time and prayers that allows our youth to grow and to be as you know, productive as they are, not only here, but also out in school. So we thank you guys for that, for sure.
Amen.
Any testimonies before we get them up here? All right.
I was really impressed with the diversity. There was no two people alike. And I probably couldn't even add all the IQs together and count the numbers of the people. They're also talented and also intelligent. And you can tell with all the ropes and things they had tied around their neck. But really, in all sincerity, I was so impressed saved.
Amen.
It was so oppressive, but I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
I think Jessica told me that there was that the bow tie quartet was singing one and 316 was singing a couple more. I'm not sure which one comes first. Bow tie, okay. Bow tie quartet, come on up. And any time between songs, if you guys have a testimony, don't just feel free to stand up and let it out.
Disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock,
on the rock of ages, safe from every storm, all the storm that rages, rich in love I'm rich. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptations hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward. Each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is our foundation, so on this solid rock I'll stay.
I'm standing on the rock,
on the rock of ages, safe from every storm, all the storm that rages. Rich in love I'm rich, not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. On the rock of ages, safe from every storm, all the storm that rages. Rich in love I'm rich,
not from
Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the solid rock.
So talented. This first song, Stevie came to me and said he wanted to play the drums, and I was thrilled, and I said, that's fine, you pick the song, you tell me, we'll do it. So he picked the song, and we're so thankful that he is playing with us tonight.
Amen.
So we're really excited about that. And then also, Austin, of course, has graciously played the piano several songs for us. He's going to play a couple for us tonight. He played one for us this morning. He learns them in no time, I'll tell him, and I think he could play them probably after he hears it because he's so good. So all of them are so talented. Taylor's going to be playing as well on her violin, and then several of them have solos. So just pray for them tonight. They are so faithful. They're so willing to be here, and this group is amazing. They bless me beyond measure, and I know they're going to bless you tonight too.
Amen.
Speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of
one. This is the one that they tell me, don't make us dance. Please don't make us dance. So I told him back there when we were practicing, I said, if you dance for me back here as hard as you can and get into it, then I won't make you dance, but you still got to act happy. So they did. So they can, just so you know. But I just want them to show you all how much fun that they can have and singing for God. So that's what we're going to do with this one.
With something bubbling inside of you, spilling over cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel. Uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Giddy over pretty pity please, let me see your hands in the air with you out your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
Second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours.
And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me.
Imagine what I'd be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what I'm lost to see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
be able to speak it all I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I thought about the songs you all sang, and I think they're so, so good about representing God, because he has ready for us what we can't imagine, what we don't know, what's going to be great. While we're down here, it doesn't matter what other people say about us. It matters what he says about us. It doesn't matter what the devil says about me. It matters what he says about me. It doesn't matter what I say about me. It matters what he says about me.
That's right.
All I have to do is look in his word, and I can see what He thinks about me, and that's what matters, and that's what carries me through. And in the song you sang about grace, where you have the little rap at the end, that song to me is just so fun because it represents the dynamic of God, how he's not just like me. And he's not just like you. He's like all of us. He's like everybody. And everybody has a different taste and a different flavor, and God has all that. And he just puts it all together. And I just think God is so awesome in that way. He's so cool in that way. He's so great in that way. And I'm glad that I can feel him in different kinds of music. There's music that's not my taste, and there's music that is my taste. There's music that's not your taste, but it's my taste. And I can feel him in music that I think other people would go, really? Really? You can feel him in that? And I think, yes, I can, because I'm a little weird like that. But you know what? God's like that. God is like everything. And I just think, I thank God that he is that way, and that he loves little old me enough to save me and to protect me. And one day, he's going to take me where I don't have to imagine anymore,
right,
whether it's before the world ends,
right,
or when we all go to heaven together. One day, I'm going to be there.
Right.
And if I'm there before you're there, you can't imagine what I'm doing there. But it's going to be great.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody have any testimonies as he's thinking about what song he wants to play?
It's been a blessing.
I was thinking, there are Christians out there that would say, they shouldn't be rapping about God or Jesus. You know, that just doesn't sound, that's just not how it should be. And if they serve the Jesus that I serve, if they know the Jesus that I know and have a relationship with, if they had rap back when Jesus was on this earth, I can guarantee you he would have been rapping. Because he would want to do anything he could to get people praising his Father.
Right.
And if that's the way he can do that, then he would have done it. And I don't think they had rap back then. Maybe they did. But if they would have, I can guarantee you he would have done it, because he wanted to praise his Father. And if that's a way to do it, you better believe that Jesus Christ would have done that. And so for those people that don't agree with that, but, you know, Jesus Christ, he would have done it, whatever it took to get people to praise God. Anyone else have a testimony tonight? All right, go ahead, Austin.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive. And I know, you know, he's put a lot of time into that. And it's like a lot of things in life. You put time into it, and you'll get the rewards back out of it. And it's the same with our Christian walk. If we want to have a good Christian walk with God, we got to put time into it. Come to church, read our Bibles. You know, we were talking in class this morning, and one of the first songs that they sang tonight was talking about how the word cuts like a sword. And you know, I think sometimes sometimes we're just so accustomed to hearing the word on a weekly basis, and we've been hearing this for a lot of years that we forget how powerful that word really is for people who've never heard it. I was listening to Caleb this week, and there was a guy on there that was a Muslim his whole life, and he said that he was something had happened, and you know, he said that through growing up, they train him as Muslims to that Christians are dirty. That's what they tell him. They said, you know, if you get around Christians, you're considered unclean. You got to do all these things to be right. And he said that something was going on in his life, and nothing was working out. And he had a friend that had recently become a Christian. And that friend, he asked his friend, he said, "How did you get your life right?" And he said that it was Christianity. And, you know, he'd been trained his whole, this man who was a Muslim, been trained his whole life that, you know, that's, Christians are dirty. You can't be doing that. And that's the wrong way to go. Anyways, he gave it a shot. He came to church once. He came to church with his friend, and just the whole time he was sitting there, he was like, "This just doesn't feel right." You know, I've been raised the opposite way of this. And he said that there was a sign in the front that said, "Please turn off your cell phones," in reverence to the Holy Spirit or to God's presence. And he was like, how dare they think that, you know, that God is really here with them? You know, it's just not what he's used to. Until the service started. And then he said he felt that presence that they were referencing that sign, on that sign. And he said that his friend gave him a New Testament Bible. And he said that he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 5 times each in 1 week. That's as soon as he started reading it, he said it felt alive to him. And he'd never read it before, but it felt alive to him. And he said he couldn't put it down. He read each Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 5 times each in 1 week. That's how much it was speaking to him. He said he couldn't put it down. So, you know, we should be in the Word as well. That's how much it can speak to us. And it cuts like a sword, like that first song said, that, you know, that man had been raised the complete opposite of Christianity, to the raised that Christianity was not right. But as soon as he read the Word, he couldn't put it down. He said it felt alive, and it is truly a living Word. And Aaron's about to give us the Word tonight. So I'm going to ask Luke Nunley if he would pray for Aaron as he comes.
Hey, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord.
Bless you, Luke.
This wonderful day you've given us. We thank you for the blessings you've given us today, Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for the talent, Lord, that we've heard tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for the blessings that we've heard. Thank you for our brother Bobo, Lord. Thank you for the testimony.
Yeah.
Lord, God bless Brother Aaron. See you, Lord, as he comes to bring the message, Lord, that you put him aside and speak to us. Lord, and whatever we do, we take it in, Lord, we take them out these four walls that are lost and die, and if there's one here tonight, Lord, don't know it's their personal Savior, Lord, it's going to come to know tonight. Lord, we thank you once again, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful service so far. Thank you for the wonderful talent, the blessings you put on God, Lord.
Yes.
We love you, praise you, we give you honor and glory for everything. In your name, pray.
Amen.
All hearts free. Don't take it home with you. I've just got 3 short scriptures I want to read. The first one comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I thought about all of our graduates and those that will be taking another course in life. And I began to think about this scripture, and I thought, you know, the thing that we all strove to do while we were in school was just what? Finish. Get out. And I'm sure there are several that are here that, you know, had that desire too, to just get finished. especially in college, it seems like it just wants to go on for a long time. How many in here attended college at some point in your life? How many in here changed majors sometime in your life? About as many as it went to college, I think. You know, it was just it's something that it's at a time in our life when we really don't know what we want to do. We're not sure. You know, we think we do, and then we decide, well, I'm going to spend 4 or 5 years or 6 years studying something. I better be sure. So oftentimes those changes are made. And oftentimes, as Teresa said, there's decisions we make that we wish we had changed. We wish we had gone down another road. But I thought in this scripture, beginning in verse 6, Paul is writing here to Timothy, and he's talking to him about his life. And we all know that Paul started out as Saul. And his desire was to do what? Destroy the church, persecute Christians. And I thought of what Trent said about the Muslims that he had heard from, that, you know, they thought Christianity was wrong. But that same boy also said he had never felt anything like this. He had gone to church, he had prayed, he had done all this, but he never felt alive in the Lord. And I thought of Paul as he, on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ, whom he persecuted. And I thought, wow, what a change.
Yeah. Amen.
He went from destroying the church to planting churches all over, you know, in that region, and he took missionary journeys and started many churches. But here he's come to the final time in his life, and in verse 6 it says this: "For I am now ready to be offered; the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight; I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He had finished the course of life that he has gone through. Many of you who are getting ready to start college or whatever you may determine to do in life, you've got a course to go. Now I want to ask you another question. How many in here have ever run track? Distance runners. How many distance runners? About everybody that's run tracks run distance. Any speedsters in here? Any short sprints? Got a few? Any field event people? High jump, long jump, shot put? Jessica, do you have your hand up? I was talking to Joe this morning, and I was also talking to a gentleman last night or yesterday evening about the fellow that broke the shot put record from Cabell Midland, and I thought, you know, when I threw the shot, I was 5'11" and weighed 205 pounds. And the boy that won the shot yesterday, he was 6'4 and weighed 317 pounds. And the boy who got second place was 6'5 and weighed 315 pounds. So I don't know what they've been feeding them through the years, but we didn't have a player on our team that was that big, even in college. But I thought, you know, how that when you participate in a track or a running event or a field event, you want to do your best. You want to finish first, but it doesn't always happen. But I thought if here was Paul, he said, I've fought a good fight. That's the important thing, that in our Christian life, we fight a good fight. We may not come out on top in every race in this life, but when we get to heaven, we'll come out on top. And I thought of what Kendra said, you know, to go through life believing in God and then one day find out there wasn't a God. But much worse than that would be to go through life not believing in God and then meet Him one day. It says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing. And I thought in my life, as I gave my heart to Christ when I was young, I thought, you know, that I didn't know where I was going to go. And I'll tell you a little bit about my college planning. Today they start planning with you in, what, about the sixth grade or in middle school, what you're going to try to do when you get in college. And I got recruited and I got ended up at West Virginia State College and didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. Went in to register for classes one day and my coach was there and he called me Earn. That's Aaron in I don't know what language, but he called me Earn. He said, Earn, what do you like to do? What do you think you want to do? And I said, well, I like math. And he says, how about accounting? So I've been in accounting now for 47 years, I guess. But I thought, you know, my planning was not what I had sat down and planned to do. It was just a suggestion. But God worked it out. I've always had a job, and He's taking care of our family. Now, when Susie started school, she had it in her mind she was going to be a nurse. And I thought, well, she'd be a good nurse. And something happened in the registration that she didn't get in the program on time. And she was a year behind now because she didn't get it accepted. It wasn't that she wasn't qualified and didn't do the things she needed to do, but they lost your name, I guess, didn't they, Susie? They lost her name. So at that point, she switched to elementary education, and she started teaching after our boys were, she taught for a little while, and then when we had our first two children, she went back to teaching. But while she was off during that period of time, and the thing that changed the course in her life was she had, was it a first grader? She thought, I want to go ahead and get my master's, but I'm not sure what I want to get my master's in. But she had a little first grader whose mom died. And she didn't have an idea how to help her. So her course got changed. And she figured out that I want to be a counselor so that I'll learn how to help children when I go back to teaching. And then when she went back to teaching, they had great need for counselors. And she's been doing that for, I won't say how long, but a thousand years. She said that now, I didn't. But I thought of, through the years, the many lives that she has helped in many different situations. And what she had started out to do, that door got closed. And she was determined to move on and do something else. But how God has directed her life. I'm saying that to tell all of you. Right now, you might want and you think you know for sure what you want to do. But God can change that. He can open other doors where He can use you in a more effective way. Says he had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. And he had kept the faith. Through life, the greatest thing you can keep is not a big house, is not a new car. It's not something that you can physically put your hands on. But the greatest thing you can keep in your life is the faith. The faith in Jesus Christ. I can tell you time after time things He's kept me from because I put my faith in Him at an early time. And He said this when He was finished talking there. He said, henceforth, there is laid up a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. He's got a crown for us, a crown of righteousness prepared for all those that love Him. I was thinking in every year at track time, and I want to congratulate Ripley for doing it 2 years in a row. And that's a great feat for a smaller high school like Ripley is. But they have some great athletes. And those athletes are committed. And anybody who wants to be successful in life, you have to be committed. You say, I'll just go do my best whenever I feel like it. You see that nowadays with some of the high-paid athletes. And it's not very long they're traded. And it's not very long they're not even playing ball. Simply because they weren't committed. They had too many other things on their mind. But it's so important. And if I were to tell you tonight, what does GCC stand for? What would you tell me? Gold Town Community Church. You know, I'd like to see us change that name. You say, Aaron, we can't change Gold Town Community Church. We're on the books like that. But I want to use this. I would like to see us become God's committed children. God's committed children. And I thought about being committed. I guess being committed means they can put you away, doesn't it? That's another way you can take committed. But committed, I had a... Yeah, I guess I'm not supposed to do it. I can't find it. But that's all right. I had a definition of committed. And I'll ask you all, what is truly being committed to something? Dedicated? To see something through? Loyal? Giving your all for it? Who does that sound like in just the definitions you just gave me? Who does that sound like? Jesus Christ. If you go in the scripture, I believe it's Luke 23 and 46. I didn't even write that one down. I wasn't going to go that way, but I began to think about Christ and His committedness. He was willing to, what'd you say, Mike? See it through. Christ was willing to see it through. Was He loyal? Yes, He was loyal. What else was He? He was all in. He was all in. What did He come for? He came to seek and to save those that were lost. And you say, well, did he go around seeking and saving those that were lost? He gave his life. There's a little thing that you talk about eggs and ham. Anybody heard about eggs and ham? Green eggs and ham. But this is like an eggs and ham baked breakfast. Okay? You've got the chicken, and what did he do? He gave us an egg. So he did what? He just participated, didn't he? He just... Well... I was wondering why I couldn't get that rooster to give me any eggs. But she participated in the breakfast. But what about the pig? He was committed all the way, wasn't he? Because, you know, he gave his life that you could have that breakfast. Now I know when you sit down to eat ham and eggs for breakfast, you'll think about that, you know. But I thought Christ was so committed. And when he was on the cross, and it was all about to be over, he says, Father. Father what? Forgive them. He was forgiving. That was one of the last things he said. But into thy hands I commit or commend my spirit. He went all the way. He went all the way. I thought of the state track meet, and you know, you watch those that are running those long distance. You know, some of them who have worked really hard and been committed, they're going to give it a run for it. But there are others that just barely finish. That would have been me in the long distance. I would have barely finished. I hope I would have finished. But I thought, you know, Christ wants us to finish the course. He wants us to finish the race that we're running. Now, as you're going through life, there'll be turns. There'll be ways that you think you should go. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 12. Now, to those of you that are looking for another way to go or not sure which way to go, remember this verse. It says this: there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I thought again of Teresa's testimony. I thought, you know, we make decisions a lot of time that affects people. We're not even sure we know how it's going to affect them. But there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there are things that you can do that will actually take the life out of people. It may not kill them. But if we say something to them that we shouldn't say, again, what is the most powerful part of the body? The tongue. The tongue. And so if we say something or we do something to a young Christian or someone else, it can affect them for the rest of their life. You say, how did I kill them? You killed them spiritually. You'll kill them spiritually if we're not careful what we do and what we say. But it's important for us to realize when we're going to make a turn in the road or go a different direction, what should we do? Pray about it. Ask God. God, are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure where you want me to go? I spent a lot of time on the road this week driving. And I kept trying to think of what the message should be about. And when I walked in the building tonight, I didn't have a clue. And that's stressful. You say, you shouldn't be under stress when you're a pastor. It's stressful. It's stressful if you know what you're going to speak about. Because you have a concern that what you say is going to touch somebody's life. And it could be the wrong thing to say. But there's a way that seemeth right. And also in the book of Matthew, in closing, I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Thing about serving the Lord is we do it by what? By faith, but what else? Does He make us serving? So we do it by what? By choice. By choice. We choose which way we go. God will direct us if we'll ask Him, but we choose which school we're going to go to, what job we're going to take, who's going to be our friends. We choose all those things. And how you choose them can be a great effect on you. But in the 7th chapter, the 13th verse, it says this: "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There's two ways. If something is broad and wide open, what does that give you a lot of indication or what's going to happen? A lot of room to what? A lot of room to wander. But what is the straight gate? Because the straight is narrow is the way which leadeth where? To life. The broad way leads to what? Destruction. So we've got life if we'll stay on the straight and narrow way. Oftentimes when horses are running a race, and we just witnessed that in the Kentucky Derby, what did he do that caused him to get kicked out of the race? He wandered out. He was taking the broad way. And I thought of that, but it says, "Straight is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Paul, as he found the Lord on the road to Damascus, he set out to be God's messenger throughout the world. And he did a great job. Paul got saved. But after he got saved, he wanted more than anything else to what? Spread the word. Spread the word. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. And it goes on to say, no man does what? Cometh unto the Father but by Him. And they'll teach you everything when you get out in the world. But if you know Jesus Christ and you know His Word and the pardon and forgiveness of sin, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. I thought as I was driving, it's been a long time since I sang very much. But when you're in a car that long by yourself, you got to do something. So I was singing all kinds of songs. And one point I actually rolled my window down and was singing pretty loud. I know nobody could hear me or I wouldn't have done that. But I thought, you know, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. He was riding with me. He was protecting me. I fell asleep one time.
And I woke up real quick, and I jerked the car back. I wasn't off the road or anything, but all I could say was, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for watching over me another time. My dad always says, it's not the people in front of you you got to watch. It's the ones that are behind you. And you're driving through Washington, D.C., he's exactly right. Because they're cutting, they're weaving, and they're jerking, and they're, you think, wow, that just missed me. But it's good to know, and I didn't even realize this. This was on our bulletin this morning. I mean, I looked at it earlier and I thought, narrow is the way. And I thought to all the graduates that are listed in here, always remember, narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And we need to follow Christ. And I'm thankful for everything that God has done in my life. But without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, life would be hopeless, like a ship without a sail. If you're here tonight and you're without Him, you're drifting on life's sea. But He's here tonight to help you with any problem, to steer your ship in any direction that you need it to go. He's here to watch over you. So if you're here tonight, as we get a song of invitation, Isaac's going to lead a song, and you be much in prayer. And when the invitation is over, I want to do one thing else for a special brother of mine. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Yeah.
Just as I am without one plea, but
Cleveland Clinic tomorrow. at 6 a.m. He's driving up. You know, back in, was it February or January, we thought we were really concerned because we were afraid we were going to, you know, he was going to have to go for surgery. God changed that course. And I was praying for that. I wanted him to go to Cleveland. But he's got that aneurysm that's still there. What size is it now, Jimmy?
4.7.
4.7. Huh?
4.7 centimeters.
And what size was it they were looking for it to be?
5.
4.7. That's getting pretty close to 5. But in order to correct it, they'll have to give him open heart surgery. So I'd like for him to come and everyone gather around. And we'll have a prayer of anointing for this. He's going to Cleveland to get examined. And I think it's important that we continue to pray. I'm so thankful he's been able to stay with us as long as he has and not have this surgery. And hopefully he won't have to have it. But he's closing in on that size. So if everyone would come and we'll gather around Jimmy, and this will be our closing prayer. Does anyone else have a request they'd like to make known? Be with Jimmy's. Pray for Jimmy's family. His grandmother passed away this morning. And be with them in a special way.